For February the 17th, 2021, this is Tabletop Talks Games, episode 206. Well, we are now a couple of weeks, almost 3 weeks into. It's pretty much 3 weeks, actually, when I think about it. 3 weeks into Kaldheim in Magic the Gathering Arena. And things are starting to crystallize. We're starting to see which cards are the front runners and the popular ones in the in ranked and in tournaments, of course. I've been playing around with a bunch of them, of course, trying all kinds of things. Last time I was talking about changelings. Haven't really gotten a deck to work with those super well. I mean, they're kind of like a tier three or something, like a gold or platinum level. Not even platinum, actually, but silver gold level, I would say, decks that I've made. don't really hang in platinum where I've been trying to use them to rank up. I've been doing like a 50-50 or so with those. So after this last week or so, there was a couple of competitions and a tournament. So I looked at some of the deck lists from those, got some inspiration. So one of the decks that I picked up, which is a slight variation on the previous Gruul Quest deck that I've been using off and on to rank up. Gruul continues to be a pretty successful type of deck archetype in the format. So I stuck with this, and I've gotten the cards that were new here as well, mostly anyway. So I did make some little a little variation based on what I had and didn't have and what I thought would work. So this updated list is the usual adventure cards of Edgewall Innkeeper for those and for Bone Crusher Giants and for Lovestruck Beasts. And of course, the other Eldraine cards of Embercleave, two of those, and three Great Henge. But it also had a couple of Embereth Shieldbreaker, which I haven't used all that much before, but it's good at the moment with Embercleave and Great Henge being a Skyclave. What's that called? Skyclave? Well, the equipment white card, but them being so popular and dominating in the format, it's good to have some artifact removal. And the Embereth Shieldbreaker has really been useful, I've found so far, so I'm happy with that inclusion. Besides that, I have a single Primal Might, which is kind of sticking around here because I didn't have enough Shodan the Scalds, which is one of the new cards that's in here. So this splashes a little bit of white just for the Shodan of the Scalds. The deck I was looking at had three copies, but I just have the two, so I stuck with that. And it also, from Kaldheim, has three Goldspan Dragon, which is one of the new favorites for me and many others. Besides that, we have four Kisandu Mammoths, which is a stay over from Zendikar. It has two Scavenging Ooze for those pesky Kroxa and Dimir Rogue decks. So those tend to be really useful. Also, they're very effective, or can be very effective against cycling decks. I rarely win against cycling decks unless I'm going really aggro early on. But I had a really long, drawn-out match against a cycling deck today, and in the end, I won, and it was all due to Scavenging Ooze. I played that early, which was a good decision I found, because I would just go hard, eating up their graveyard as much as I could to keep them from using that against me. So, yeah, so I was really happy with that win. I also had a win against a rogue deck, which was also just the value game. Got some Goldspan Dragons out and Showdown of the Scalds, and they just scooped. So, so I was happy with that. So I've had a good degree of success with this deck in the current set, or the current yeah, the current set, the current season. I have a 64% win rate, 70% on play, and 60 on draw. So that's really good. I mean, I have green number, or green statistics against most formats. 67 against Sultai, 50% against mono white. I mean, that's one of the harder ones, so that's I'm happy with that. Same with rogues and the Dimir rogues and mono red. So I have 50-50 at the moment. I have 100% win against the four colored with white, blue, black, and red. I'm not sure exactly what that was. I have two matches with that combination, and also two wins to zero, so 100% against Golgari. Then I have a 50% against other Gruul, and 50 against Temur, 100% against artifact, some artifact deck, and 100% against the mono blue. I remember that match. I used both my shield breakers to destroy their Nyx Bloom. What's it called? Nyx Bloom? No, not Nyx Bloom. Nyx. Well, the artifact that is pumped up by your devotion. Anyway, it was one of those devotion blue devotion deck. A deck, so I was I called that early, so I took it out. I was lucky enough to get my shield breakers early on, and can just take out one after another of their those artifacts, and they just gave up. Then I have a zero win, so a 0-1 against Izzet. I think I had a pretty bad draw that time. I remember that going really slowly for both of us, but they pulled away at in the end. 100% win against Celestia. Then I have no wins against Bant, and no wins against a four colored white, black, red, green. I think that was a really that was the interesting match, because they were playing a really strange Yorion deck with these four colors, and it was a really strange mix of different cards. It feels like they were playing like one of each or something. And I was surprised, because or I was intrigued by a combination of cards that, for whatever reason, I haven't come across before, and I haven't thought of myself, but Doom Foretold. I mean, that's a card that I've been on the receiving end of that quite a lot, especially back before the last rotation. You'd see that a lot in Sultai decks. Well, not Sultai. What's it called? Absan, I think. And yeah, I really had a hard time with those, especially when I was playing Rakdos. But yeah, I noticed that they, I don't know if it was intentional, but they happened to have the combination of Doom Foretold and Lurrus. Although they never used the Lurrus to keep feeding the Doom Foretold, but I realized that that's like a perfect combination. You can keep your Doom Foretold fed by just pumping the same creature back into circulation. And hopefully it's a creature that gives you some ETB effect or some other value as it either leaves or enters the battlefield. So yeah, that could be a really powerful combination. So yeah, that got me sidetracked from playing the playing ranked. I felt I had to go and had to go and have a look at what else I could do, or what I could do in that with that combination. So I put together a what's it called? Osham. Anyway, the white black deck. I made one called Tegrid's Doom, which I've had really good success with now in the play queue. Of course, you have to take that with a grain of salt. But I mean, if you're winning pretty much all your matches, then you're doing something right. I feel, but still, you don't know what's going to happen when you take it into rank. So I haven't tried that yet. I'm interested to do that. Right now, I've ranked up to platinum rank two, tier two. So I want to push up through one and at least get into the diamond basement, as CGB would say. And then I could play around a little bit before I try to push into Mythic. But anyway, this deck, I mean, the initial idea is the combination of Lurrus and the Doom Foretold, and of course creatures that you can replay with Lurrus are a necessity. And as I was putting it together, of course I came to the usual, or a common anyway, tribal, like a common tribe in black and white, which is clerics. So this is mostly a cleric deck, with a little splash of gods in here. I have three gods in here as well, so or god cards, more than three. But so the rundown is I have two Speaker of the Heavens. This is the current rundown. I've been messing around with it a bunch, but currently has two Speaker of the Heavens. So of course, I'm hoping to get a lot of extra pump up and get a lot of life, so I can create some angels. Haven't had any luck with that yet, so I'm thinking I might be switching those Speaker of Heavens out for some more Archfiend Vessels. At the moment, I have two Archfiend Vessels, so I just have the four clerics at one mana, and I've had much more success with the Archfiend Vessel because that has kind of the dual bonus of, I mean, it's a lifelink, both of them are, but the opponent is less or more hesitant to kill it because they know that most likely I'm looking to bring it back and turn it into the demon. So the 5/5 black demon. So it tends to stick around some more or longer. And also you get that, of course, that great effect when you get it back into play. I have three Impassioned Orators. I started with four, but the deck is pretty cramped, so I took it down to three. Those are, of course, great when you're sacrificing and bringing back other creatures. You'll get that extra life boost. I have three Null Priest of Oblivion, one of my favorite cards from Zendikar Rising, actually. It's a perfect combination with Lurrus because you can play it for two early on in the game, and then later on, when you have more mana, you can kick it to pull some other creature out of the graveyard. That might be pulling your Lurrus back into play if it's been killed. If the null priest of Oblivion has been in play and killed, since it just costs 2 mana, you can pull it out with Lurrus, but then you can actually pay the kick cost, the additional 4 mana, to pull something else out with it. So, really great card, and of course it has, since it has Menace and Lifelink, that really works well in this deck as well. I have two Altar of the Pantheon, which has a or actually three really good features. The first is, of course, it's a mana of any color, which is also always useful. Of course, this is just a dual colored deck, so usually not a problem. I don't have tons of cards that require more than one of a particular color, so so far that hasn't really been a problem, but it's always good to have that extra flexibility. Then of course it takes down Devotion by one. I have two Devotion based enchanted creature gods in here, so that's a good thing. And of course, it also gives you a life when you tap it, if you have a god in play. So since I have three different gods, this is really useful, and that little life blip comes in really handy with the next card, Heliod, Sun Crown. So that's a perfect combo there of the altar and Heliod. because Heliod makes the altar give you one life when you tap, and since you're getting one life, Heliod also puts a +1/+1 counter on the creature. So really good synergy there. Next up, I have two Righteous Valkyrie, which is one of these newer Keldheim cards. It's an angel cleric, so it's also a cleric, and it's flying for two and a white. It comes in as a 2/4 creature, and it reads: when another angel or cleric enters the battlefield under your control, you gain life equal to the creature's toughness. As long as you have at least 7 life more than your starting life total, creatures you control get +2/+2. So another reason to try to pump your life up, and another way to do it as well. In a perfect scenario, I have Lurrus in play, Righteous Valky, and maybe a or hopefully a Impassioned Orator as well. And then some other creature that I can and Doom Foretold, and then I can offer up the other creature to the Doom Foretold. I get a and then replay it with Lurrus, so that produces life from the Impassioned Orator, putting a and that triggers Heliod and puts a counter on one of the creatures. So, and then of course, if I reach 27 in usual game, the Righteous Valkyrie gives +2/+2 to all my creatures. So, really powerful effect. Haven't had that happen yet in this particular deck, even though I've had it happen in a another Angel Cleric deck that I made previously. Yeah, next up, Treacherous Blessing, just to get some card draw. And there, of course, the idea is to sack it to Doom Foretold as ASAP. One Veto, Thorn of the Duskrows. Didn't have space for more than one. I started out with more, but I had to trim it down. This will also, of course, get some extra effects through the whole life gain system to do some more damage to the opponent. And of course, it can also give a life link to all my creatures, although isn't really necessary as most of them already have that. Next up is Lurrus. Three Lurrus in this deck. I don't have it as a companion because I have so many cards, or I have since I have cards that cost more than two, so or permanents that cost more than two. So instead, I have three copies in the deck. Two Draugr Necromancer, another new card from Kaldheim. It's a zombie cleric. It's a snow creature. It costs three and a black and is a 4/4. It reads, if a non-token creature an opponent controls would die, exile a card with an ice counter on it instead. You may cast spells from among cards in exile your opponents own with ice counters on them, and you may spend mana from snow sources as though they were mana of any color to cast those spells. So here, of course, besides whenever I kill an opponent's creature, the idea is that when they sack them to the Doomford Hold, I can then play them. And I can then use them to those creatures as fodder or something else, of course, for the Doom Foretold to keep it going as well. Next up, the aforementioned Doom Foretold, four copies of that, since the deck revolves around it. I want to make sure I have plenty. And since it's not legendary, it's no problem to have more than one in play, although that it does happen. I haven't had it happen for me yet, but the possibility is there. Next up, I have two Aura Skyclave here. I can't say this. Skyclave Hierophant, which is a cleric for two, a white and a black. It's a 3/3 with lifelink, and it reads, whenever Aura Skyclave Hierophant or another cleric you control dies, return target cleric card with lesser converted mana cost from your graveyard to the battlefield. So, of course, also really excellent with the Doom Foretold, since I can offer up one cleric and then get another one in return, as long as there is one, a cheap one, in the graveyard. So that's a good synergy with there with the rest of the deck as well. Then I have two Draenor, the Last Blood Chief, vampire cleric for three and two black with flying. And it's a 4/4, and it reads, whenever Draenor, the Last Blood Chief attacks, defending player chooses a non-legendary creature card in your graveyard. You return that card to the battlefield with a +1/+1 counter on it. The creature is a vampire in addition to its other types. Another great way to get your creatures back that you've had to sack or that have been killed. I really love this card, although it's a bit slow going, since you have to play it and then wait till the next turn and then attack before you get any benefit from it. But usually, once you start getting into that cycle, you're on your way to winning. So another great way to get your creatures back. And I love the combination of here as well. Like with Lurrus, you can pull your Null Priest of Oblivion can be pulled out with Thrana, the Last Blood Chief, and you could also pull out the last Draenor, the Last Blood Chief with Null Priest of Oblivion, so they can have whichever one is in the graveyard. If you get the other one in hand, you can get the first one back. Then, kind of the star of the show, or I mean, there's many stars in here. So, but this is the card that I named the deck after because it's such a I really love this card. It's probably my favorite card from Kaldheim. Turgid, God of Fright, a legendary creature god for three and two black. It's a 4/5 with menace, and it reads: whenever an opponent sacrifices a non-token permanent or discards a permanent card, you may put that card from a graveyard onto the battlefield under your control. And it also has on the reverse side, it has a another card which I can't see at the moment to remember what it's called, but I think it's called Tigrid's Lantern. It's a, if I remember correctly, it's a legendary artifact for one black and three. And you can tap it to have a target opponent either discard a card from their hand, sacrifice a permanent, or lose three life. And you can also pay a black and three to untap it, so you can use it again. So that works well in combination with the Tigrid. So I have four copies in here, so since I can always have two in play, it's not a problem. So of course, Tigrid has some fantastic synergy with all things that have to do with having the opponent discard or sacrifice. Since you can put whatever the card it was onto the battlefield in your control when they discard or sacrifice it. So, I mean, this is a perfect combination with Doom Foretold. It's even better than a Draugr, Necromancer, or a Lurrus, because your opponent is forced to sacrifice a permanent, and you immediately get that permanent into play. So now you have something to sacrifice when it's your turn. So this is a really, really powerful combination with Doom Foretold. And one that I initially didn't think of when I was started thinking about the deck, but of course it came to me quickly, and it was a given to have four of those in here. So once that starts happening, yeah, your opponent's gonna scoop pretty soon, I found. So really great combination, works really great with other cards as well. I had a matchup where the opponent was trying or played Kroxa, forcing me to discard. But then, of course, since they sacrificed Kroxa enters the battlefield on my side, and now they have to sacrifice something. And since they're sacrificing something, I get that card that they're sacrificing. So I get like a double whammy, payback on the Kroxa. So that's really fun. And of course, whenever somebody sacrifices a Fabled Passage, I get the Fabled Passage, so I can also get a land. There's tons of fun little perks with Turgid. So Turgrid. Next up, Athreos Shroud Veiled, which is that legendary enchantment creature god from Theros. It costs four and a white and a black. It has indestructible, and as long as your devotion to white or black is less than seven, Athreos isn't a creature. But at the beginning of your end step, put a coin counter on another target creature. Whenever a creature with a coin counter on it dies or is put into exile, return that card to the battlefield under your control. So another great way to mark a permanent that either a permanent that you really want to keep around, so that it comes back into play on your for you when it dies, or if you have to sacrifice it to the Doom Foretold. And otherwise, why not use it on a permanent your opponent controls, so you'll get that into play when they have to sacrifice it or if it's killed. So a really great card as well. And it also has the synergy with the Altar of the Pantheon, making it produce life, and it bringing down the devotion cost. So nice little card there. So rounding out, I have four Bright Climb Pathway, the four Snow-Covered Plains, four Snow-Covered Swamps, two Temple of Silence, and four Fabled Passage. Yeah. I think I've pretty much explained the deck in total. Really looking forward to diving into ranked with this deck. Maybe making some little tweaks here and there, but pretty happy with the deck as it is at the moment. We'll see. I might make a version with Yorion, but I kind of like the 60 card pile to make sure I have consistency in there. We'll see how it does against rogues. I don't really have anything to counter them in a great way, so we'll see. Maybe I'll have to make a bigger deck just to withstand the rogues. But on the bright side with rogues, it seems that they're kind of falling out of favor. People have been spending so much energy and time trying to tweak their decks to be able to combat them, that feels like they're not winning as much, and maybe it's the time for rogues is at an end, or at least declining. So here's hoping. Yeah, well, I've been talking for over a half hour now, so I need to go walk the dogs. Bye bye.